Gittin Perek Dalad Mishnah Hey 4-5, and the Mishnah continues to discuss various tikkunei ha'olam, enactments that the rabbis put forth in order to make the world a better place. And notwithstanding the technical letter of the law, they made adjustments. And again, we're talking here about things that apply to avadim, eved kanani, a slave who is owned by a Jew. And the particular case of our Mishnah here is Misha chetzio eved v'chetzio ben chorin, someone who is half a slave and half owned by a Jew. What does that mean? So it could happen in a variety of ways. The most simple is to think, for example, that two people bought a slave together, so they each own him 50-50, and then one of those two partners frees the slave. So now the slave is now half free, and that half of him, so to speak, is like a full-blown Jew. The other half is still a slave with the restrictions that a slave has. Now, the first part of a Mishnah is going to consider the economic, I'll call it predicament, if you will, that the owner has. But then we'll later on take into consideration the other person who's really important in the story, which is the slave himself and his interests. So from an economic point of view, here's the problem. If one person owns a slave, so he owns his output, he owns his person, he can, you know, do whatever it takes to get the slave to produce for him. If a person is a half owner of a slave, another half, so to speak, the slave owns himself, if you will. So now, the economic output of this person is 50% belongs to the owner and 50% belongs to himself. The problem is, as a free person, there's no way necessarily to force this half slave to produce. In other words, if you own a slave fully, they're expected to produce their 100 bricks a day, and the owner would get those 100 bricks. If they're a half slave, so 50 bricks should go to the owner and 50 bricks should go to himself. The problem is, what if he doesn't want to work very hard? So what recourse does the owner have, because he's a half free person? Can't do anything to him because of the free part of him, so to speak. And therefore, to consider that, to solve that predicament, the Mishnah says, Ovid es rabo yom echad ves atzmo yom echad. What they do is they divide his work week into 3 days where he works for himself, 3 days on which he works for his owner, alternating days, and therefore when he works for himself, if he wants to be lazy, that's fine. When he works for his owner, he's like functioning as a full-blown slave, and whatever recourse a person has to induce a slave to produce from at full capacity, this man has as well. So, although again, by rights, he should be treated as like a half-free person every day of the week and be protected, but no, considering the economic rights and needs of the current owner, we make him be like, so to speak, a full-blown slave half the days and a full-blown free man the other half of the days. Now, that's Divrei Beis Shammai. That's Beis Shammai's position, and again, we're focused on the benefit of the owner. And because of that, Beis Hillel is going to get some flack from Beis Shammai. Amar lehem Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai say, wait a second. Tekantem es rabo. It's all well and good. You took care of the needs of the owner, so now he doesn't lose anything. But ve'es atzmo latekantem. But you haven't taken into consideration the needs of the half-slave and his predicament. Because why? Lisa Shifcha Iyavshar. Who is he supposed to marry? Since he's a half-free person and a half a slave, so he can't marry a Shifcha. A Shifcha meaning a slave woman. Why? Shikvar Chetzu Ben Chorin. Because half of him is like a free Jew. And a free man Jew can't marry a Shifcha. That's Isser Doraisa. The most easy place to point to the source of that is Uncle's translation of the pasuk Lo siye kadesh mibnos Yisrael v'lo ye kadesh mibnei Yisrael. It's a pasuk in Devarim Perk Chaf Gimel pasuk Yud Ches 23:18, which Uncle's understands that it's a prohibition explicitly against Jewish men marrying shvachot and slave girls, and Jewish women marrying avadim, slave men. They're not allowed to do that. So that being the case, this half slave, half-free person can't marry a shivcha because he's half-free. And baschorn yevshar, he also can't marry a regular nice Jewish girl, shekvar chetzio eved, because he's still half an eved. So half of him would be marrying half, of, you know, would be marrying in a prohibited way. Therefore, he's stuck. What's he supposed to do? Yibatel? Should he sit around and do nothing, just not have a family? That's unthinkable. V'halo, lo nivra olam el l'priya rivia. The whole world is created so people should be able to have families. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Lo sohu vara la shevas yitzara. God didn't create the world to be desolate. He created it, he formed it, that it should be inhabited. So that being the case, we want this person, the slave, to be able to, half-slave, to be able to have a family. And therefore, el me tikkun olam, for the sake of making the world a better place, for the common good, kofen es rabo, we force the owner of the half of him, va'oso so ben chorin, to release him, making him a full-blown free Jew in every sense, v'chosev shtar al chatzi damav. The former slave will give an IOU for the value that the owner who's relinquishing him from ownership is owed. In other words, if slaves go for $100 on the market, so he'll give him an IOU for 50. Okay. And v'chazru beis hillel lahoros kadiver beis shammai. Beis hillel saw the rectitude in that, and therefore he agreed, beis hillel agreed, that they should force any owner of a half slave, half-owned slave, to free the slave in full, so they can have a life and get married and so on. So now, a couple important technical points here. The first is, there's a mitzvah from the Torah called pru urvu. It's a pasuk. So why in the world did the Mishnah not say, shenemar pru urvu? It doesn't say that. The proof text is, lo sov vora l'sheves yitzara, and that is a verse out of Yeshaya, not out of the Chumash. Why? So the way that the Rosh Hashanah learned this is, for a simple mitzvah, mitzvahs are important, of course, but if this situation being a half-free and half-slave would inhibit this person from doing some mitzvah, we wouldn't force the owner to release him for that. This person now has to keep mitzvahs like a regular Jewish man, because the half of him has to keep, so not before he was freed at all, so he had to keep Shabbos and kosher like a Jewish woman. Now that he's half freed, the half of him, so to speak, that's free, has to now put on tefillin and do Sefiras Omer and do Talmud Torah and so on. But the mitzvahs that are unique to men. Nevertheless, this having children, which is also a mitzvah, peruvu is a mitzvah on men, he won't be able to do. And for that alone, we wouldn't say, you know, that he should be freed. Why not? Because there's a separate mitzvah in the Torah not to go freeing your slaves for no good reason. La'olam behem ta'avodu. The pasuk says, an eved kanani will serve a Jew, to serve the Jews forever. And it'll be a violation of a mitzvah's aseh to free a slave for no good reason. To free him for the sake of some, you know, of the master's benefit, he needs a tenth man for a minion, even though it's a just a rabbanon, that'll be okay. But to just let him go for nothing, that'll be the Jew doing an avera for the benefit of the slave. And we never say, this principle is, we never tell a person, chatei b'shvil sheyizka chavercha. We never tell a person, you should do a sin so your fellow Jew should have some, you know, be protected or get a merit or something like that, or have a benefit, a spiritual benefit, a mitzvah benefit. We don't say that. So therefore, we wouldn't force this slave owner to free his half-owned slave so the half-owned slave can do mitzvahs of having children, in and of itself. That's why the mitzvah puruvu is not enough. But the mitzvah puruvu isn't just the mitzvah puruvu. It's not just one of the 613. As the proof text is saying from Yeshaya, this is like part of like the mission statement of the Bria, of existence that Hashem created. He wants people to be fulfilled human beings and have families of their own and to have offspring and to develop the world. And that's the mission of existence. Therefore, puruvu is not just another mitzvah. It's like a central, all-important mitzvah, which is like central to what it means to be a human being. And that being the case, since of its central importance, we, with the Chazal here, are saying we force the person, the master, to release the half he still owns, so this poor slave guy can be free to do his mitzvah. And that'll be the din lahalacha. That said, I just want to speak out. This is because we're talking about an Eved Kanani. He's a man, and a man is mitzvah peruvu. If it would be a shifcha kananis, a female slave who's half-owned and half-free, this mishnah wouldn't apply, meaning we wouldn't, the second part of the mishnah wouldn't apply, and we wouldn't force the owner to free her. Instead, we would simply let her work one day for herself, one day for her master, vice versa, and, you know, alternating days, just like Beis Hillel said originally, and that would be the din lahalacha, although the Gemara speaks out that in the event that we see that she's causing trouble in society at large because she's sort of promiscuous, then we would force the owner to free her so she too could get married, so she could live the life of a nice Jewish woman and not as one as a promiscuous, you know, slave who has every other day off to cause mischief in society.